Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Purdue Podcast. I'm Pastor Heather Purdue. This is Pastor Aaron Purdue, my husband, and we are pastors here at Charis Christian Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If this is your first time joining us live, we do this every Monday. And the reason why is because we know that there's a lot of people out there that need community. They need to talk to somebody that's faith-filled. And so that's why we're here. We decided to start this podcast to just really reach people that we couldn't reach locally. And some we do reach locally. Some people that hop on are here at our church. But we started this in faith. We knew that God wanted us to do it, and here we are.
Yeah, so if you're on YouTube or on Facebook, you can actually leave comments, mm-hmm. and we can see those on a screen here. So, and if you have a question or something you want to say related to the topic, we'd love to see those comments and questions. Hi, Chrissy. Chrissy's on Chrissy's awesome. She's my dad's assistant and oversees a lot of our volunteers.
Does many hats.
The hospitality team with ushers and greeters, and they had 9 people sign up yesterday.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and another 3 signed up for the AVL team and a couple for Kids Church.
So. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
People are really...
Once a month, we try to showcase a different...
Team.
Volunteer team. Mm-hmm. I actually think the greatest way to get to know people, to connect at a local church, is by serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to explain this to you because it's not like the typical thing that people teach or quite understand.
Yeah.
But
hey, Melissa.
There's a lot of strange people out there in the world, and even that come through the church doors. And you know, some people have certain systems that they encourage people to get involved with to get to know people. But serving is an awesome way to get to know people. You mm-hmm. you volunteer with people, you get to know them a little better. If you're connecting with someone, think you and you know your family, your spouse, yourself as an individual might want to get to know people better. Hey, let's go out to lunch after church, then go to lunch a few times and invite them to your place. You'll meet people, you'll find some common interests, mm-hmm. like maybe it's hunting or quilting. But really volunteering is a great way to just get to know people and
yeah.
be known. And,
it's
just
a great way to learn.
Difference.
To me, one of the great things that I've learned volunteering is like how to problem solve, because people, have different ways of doing things, you mm-hmm. know, that maybe I didn't think about. So like problem solving, how to, converse with different personalities, mm-hmm. How to handle different personalities, really how to exercise the things that we teach mm-hmm. at church, the things that we teach that we learn from the Bible. But I think that serving is really good for introverted people
mm-hmm.
specifically. And the reason why is because it gives you something to do, a common mission. And basically anybody could do it, mm-hmm. you know, like anybody can be the, if you can say hello to someone, I know Pastor Barbara says like, you just need to know how to smile. If you know how to smile, you can be on the mm-hmm. hospitality team. But when you're doing a common job together, working together, there's just something that like helps you knit together with mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
And I think it's really awesome.
It's really true.
Yeah. There should be more of a emphasis.
Yeah.
Just from the whole body of Christ on serving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And really great ministers are very
servant-minded.
Yeah, servant. Yeah. The word minister means to serve.
Yeah.
To work, to be a part of something, to help people.
Mm-hmm. So and before you get started on this, I want you to share this with somebody that you know. If you're watching on YouTube, you can hit the copy link button and you can text it to a friend. If you're watching on Facebook, you can share it on your page. You know, people go back and watch these even after the fact. The people that you send it to right now might not watch it right now, but God might remind them of it later, you know, when they really need it, because this topic is going to be awesome. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about the power of praise mm-hmm. and just how powerful praise is. And I was just skimming through my notes.
And you thought, wow, this is good. Who wrote this?
It's really good. I actually did this as a teaching on a Sunday morning here at church.
I know. I remember.
5 or 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But I was just skimming through this, and I'm like, Pastor Heather's going to love this because you're very much a worshiper and a praiser.
God reminded me of this, I think yesterday, like during church. I was thinking, wonder what we should talk about on the podcast tomorrow. And then I remembered this, and I thought, well, you already have the notes,
yeah.
and we haven't talked about it yet. So,
and this is something I actually think about quite often. I don't teach super often, but I do oversee the worship ministry here. at our church, we have a system. So we have two worship leaders that rotate services, and mm-hmm. they're fantastic worship leaders. But I'm kind of the overseer and help recruit and onboard people. And, you know, actually Sunday we had a brand new singer singing, and and she has a lot of experience too. She helps lead worship with her husband in Virginia at their home church, and she's here for a few months with a military job and just wanted to connect and get involved in
But somebody that just moved away told her about our church.
And
right?
I could tell, like she has a lot of experience and talent. But I kind of reminded her, hey, when you're up here, even though you're not leading the song, mm-hmm. like she's kind of harmonizing, but you're still leading people. So like over to the area of the church that you're in front of and lead them in worship. You know, don't just close your eyes off the whole time.
Yeah.
So there is a type of worship where you go into the secret place mm-hmm. by yourself and worship, but corporate worship isn't that. It's corporate worship. So, you know, you have to really engage with people and you're leading them into worship. So praise is incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's something I don't take lightly. When I'm part of the worship team, usually playing the flute. Yesterday, I played the keys. And I even band directed for the first time. So I helped kind of guide.
You were in the zone.
I was in the zone. I know. And when I had to take up offering right after, I could barely talk because I was so focused on
your other job.
On my other job. But music is so incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. Psalm 8, verse 2.
But this isn't just about music.
No, this is for everyone.
Yeah, I don't want people to like just shut their brain off thinking, oh, I'm not musical. I'm not, you know.
Well, you don't even have to be musical too. You know, do all these things.
Right.
Where I'm going to talk about
exactly.
How many words do I have here? Six. So I'm going to talk about six Hebrew words for praise.
Okay.
And this is really interesting because I haven't heard a lot of people teach this aspect in this manner, but I'm going to go through these six different Hebrew words for praise, mm-hmm. but I'm going to show you where specifically in context
that
word is used, because it's really interesting to see. Not just know the definition and how to praise, but to see that there's different instances where it's mentioned and it produces different results.
Yes.
Praise.
That's what I really loved about this message. Actually.
Praise has like incredible effects mm-hmm. on yourself as a believer. It has an effect on God.
Yeah.
It also has an effect on the enemy.
Yeah.
On the devil.
That's
you know, the devil was
part.
Was the
like
head
wreaking havoc on
worship leader in heaven.
Yeah.
And he really hates it when we praise.
Yeah, because somebody took his job.
Yeah. So we
that
can,
sucks for him.
So Psalm 8, verse 2, it says, this says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So that's in Psalm 8, verse 2. Jesus actually quotes this verse and slightly changes it, and it's really important to understand why he slightly changed a certain phrase in this verse. But he said in Matthew 21, verse 16, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Mm. So in Psalm, it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, you know, to silence the enemy and the avenger. Mm-hmm. Here, Jesus is saying that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. So perfect praise silences the enemy and the avenger.
I love that.
So the enemy can't stand it. You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. That's in Psalm 22, verse 3. So praise, you know, has the exact opposite effect on, you know, the presence of God and the presence of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Praising God, you know, actually draws in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Whereas it buffets, pushes out the enemy and his atmosphere and his tactics and his darkness and confusion and worry and all, fear, all the things that he brings. Mm-hmm. And something I heard recently, I kind of liked, kind of a church guru type person, but he was talking about charismatic churches, which we are a charismatic church, are really good about inviting the presence of God into their services.
Yeah.
Whereas evangelical churches, like maybe they're not so charismatic. They're very concerned about evangelizing people, saving the lost, which is a great goal to have. They're very good about inviting people to church.
Yeah.
Like Baptists. You grew up Baptists have actually a system that has been proven to work in inviting people to church and having them continue coming back.
Yes.
And that is actually to and there's a big Baptist denomination organization that discovered this, but if you call people, like first-time visitors, back within 24 hours, they're a lot more likely to keep coming back. But he was saying a lot of evangelical churches, like maybe their tradition is to sing very simple worship, you know, organ, four-part harmonies, turn to hymn number 256.
Yeah.
Today's hymn.
We're going to sing when we all get to heaven.
They've actually adopted a lot of the charismatic style of worship,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's more powerful in general.
Yeah.
And I love traditional, a lot of traditional
the
aspects
hymns
too. Yeah.
Yeah. The words to the hymns are awesome.
But they've understood, like, hey, these people are really good about, you know, ushering in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
But charismatic churches could be better about evangelizing as well.
Yeah.
And even other charismatic leaders I've talked to, ministers, heads of ministry, church, like they really like working with people who are very evangelical. I'm thinking of like Philip Renner.
Yeah.
He's a charismatic, but he's very much an evangelist too.
Yeah.
So like having him around really helps rub off on people and understand, just really catch that heart for ministering to the lost.
Mm-hmm.
So praise and worship, it affects the enemy, drives him away. It affects God. He loves it. He inhabits the praise. It also affects us as believers.
Yeah.
It builds you up. Ephesians 5:19 says this. It says, we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is a part of our interaction with one another as believers.
Yeah.
We're just to be thankful, praise and worship type people.
Mm-hmm.
And one verse actually talks that you're to teach one another with psalms and hymns as well. So I find that really interesting too, because a lot of worship leaders are actually female,
mm-hmm.
and they're to teach the congregation through their songs. And historically, like going back to hymn writing, a lot of great ministers, evangelists, Martin Luther,
mm-hmm.
They wrote songs to teach people the gospel, to teach people doctrine. Like Martin Luther wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God," but a lot of great evangelists actually were great hymn writers too.
That's
because
awesome.
Because they wanted to teach, they found that as an effective way of teaching people the truth of the gospel.
Well, it is even now, like there's so many little, you know, facts that kids learn because they'll put them to music,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of this, that it reminds me of that.
Yeah. And even, something I do working with our two worship leaders when we're picking songs, certain times of year, I know we'll have a lot of unbelievers here at the church, like especially on Christmas Eve, Easter. So I always intentionally pick a song that just really spells out the gospel very clearly.
That's wise.
Like What a Beautiful Name It Is.
Yeah.
Yesterday we did All Hail King Jesus. That song really spells out
mm-hmm.
the story of the gospel, because a lot of people don't even know the exact detail. Like it's just not even taught.
Yeah.
You know, the basic beliefs of Christianity isn't really taught anywhere
mm-hmm.
in society.
Yeah.
So if people don't come from a Christian family or have never been to church, they need to be taught just the basic.
They need to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Things that you might assume that most people would understand.
Yeah.
So we'll go through these six words, but I really want to point out where they're used in context.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And sometimes how it relates to the New Testament as well. Mm-hmm. So these are the Hebrew words for praise. And oftentimes just in English, they're translated as praise or thanksgiving, worship. But a great resource for doing a Bible study like this is a website called blueletterbible.org. Mm-hmm. They also have an app. So I use it quite a bit, but if there's a verse you like, you can look at the original Hebrew or Greek and look at the specific original word, but you click on that word and it'll show you where else it's used throughout Scripture.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to see how these words are used in different parts of Scripture. So the first one, the first Hebrew word for praise we'll talk about is called todah. And this really shows me that praise is sacrificial.
Yeah.
Todah means a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a confession, It also sometimes means a choir of worshipers. Mm. So this is really fascinating to me because there's something very, you know, I love worshiping God alone, singing alone, playing the piano alone, but there's something special about joining other believers in worship to God.
Yeah.
And it's very biblical, very important, very scriptural. You know, in the Old Testament, actually, God commands his people like three times a year to come together from all parts of the nation to come together, mm-hmm. To worship together. You know, not just in your own community, but to come together.
Yeah.
You know, three times a year. So todah means a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a confession, or a choir of worshipers. So we see this word in Psalm 50, verse 14. It says, offer to God thanksgiving. And if you're, you know, using that Bible app, blueletterbible.org or the app, if you clicked on that word thanksgiving, it would show you todah and show you other places it's mentioned. But it's a very sacrificial thanksgiving type of worship. It says, offer to God thanksgiving, todah, and pay your vows to the Lord Most High. Relating to the New Testament, sacrificial worship is part of the New Testament covenant as well. Hebrews 13, verse 15, you know, praise and worship didn't just go away. You know, some denominations actually kind of get screwy with how they interpret scripture. They think in the Old Testament they used instruments, but in the New Testament we're not going to use instruments. Like, praise and worship continues on into the New Testament, but it gets even better because we can worship God directly.
Yeah.
We don't have to go through a priest. We have Jesus now. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, sacrificial worship is so powerful because sometimes it does take a sacrifice to worship him. You know, I was explaining this to our youth once, you know, in the scope of eternity, this is the only time where you can worship God as a teenager.
Yeah.
And think about how precious that is to God, that you worship him as a teenager.
Yeah.
So worship is more sacrificial here on earth probably than in heaven. Because we can't see Jesus face to face here.
Yeah.
Unless someone has a special encounter with Jesus.
By faith.
But
it reminds me of that scripture, it's more blessed to, oh my gosh. Of course, my mind would just go blank. Blessed are those who believe and haven't seen.
Yeah, Jesus said that, yeah. When he was talking to Thomas, who was doubting, yeah. And our notes are actually in the description.
Yeah, if you want to follow.
So if you want to follow along, and I even have in the notes, I have pictures of these Hebrew words too, so you can see the actual, how it looks in Hebrew.
If you want to take it and go get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I saw someone who got Yahweh tattooed on their arm, and
did they spell it wrong?
Well, it was backwards, but I don't know if they inversed their picture.
Oh,
you know what I mean. So I didn't say anything to them because
don't. I hope they're not watching this.
They aren't.
Okay, good. Anyway, let's move on.
I'll show you later, but yeah, someone got a picture of Yahweh tattooed on their arm,
but it was backwards. It was mirrored.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
But some of the Hebrew is right to left.
It
so I'm like,
me
I hope
when,
she didn't.
Like in my early like 20s, it was really popular to get
Chinese.
Yes, Chinese. Yeah.
Chinese symbol.
And I saw this video one time that was like Chinese people interpreting what that actually meant.
It means like sick dog or something.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Anyway. Okay, moving on.
So, I mentioned this because several years ago, I did a teaching on the Hebrew names of God, and someone on staff at the time made a background for it, for LED wall, but all the Hebrew was
backwards,
yeah. And it's because he typed it in, and like, I think Microsoft Word doesn't let you do stuff right to left.
Oh, and it's really
He was trying to use a program where it was typing it out left to right.
Well, good thing you knew.
And I said, you can't. I just said, you can't.
Do it backwards?
Yeah, it has to be right.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big deal to have God's name spelled properly. So I'm hoping this young woman who...
Let's don't talk about it.
Yahweh
Let's
tattooed,
talk about it.
Did
Let's
it.
Let's not talk about it.
You know, right to left.
Let's
and
don't
maybe
talk
her
about
just picture was inversed.
Okay.
So todah, sacrificial, corporate worship. And again, Old Testament, New Testament, the corporate worship is so powerful and important. Mm-hmm. And you heard me practicing the piano for service for yesterday.
Yeah.
And on my own, it sucks. I mean, it's all right. You know, I'm just trying to work my part out and figure the song out and learn the. But for me, it's a lot more dull to.
Well, it's better when you have all the instruments.
Yeah,
you know?
It same thing. And it's better with all the worshipers, all the young, old, women, men. It's greater when we all come together.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's why in Hebrews, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some.
Yeah.
So you want to have good manners as a New Testament believer, and good manners means you go to church. but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So part of coming together is to exhort one another, to build each other up.
I would say that's most of the reason why. It's not always about us. It's about, I saw this thing online somewhere. I don't remember. It had to have been like a reel or a TikTok or something. But it was like, while you're waiting, do what waiters do, serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that. And that's how, that's the way it is, like when it comes to going to church too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to remember that when you come to church, the majority of the reason why we want to go to church is so we can bring our supply to church.
Yeah.
You know, not just gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
Because the blessing is on the giving, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that first Hebrew word for praise, todah.
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 I know, I'm just joking.
Todah.
It's very serious. It's a
sacrifice
of
thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a sacrifice to be thankful. You have to.
It is sacrificial thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
It's just a good thing to keep in mind. Anyhow, second word. Second word. Yada.
Yada.
Yada. Yada. It's a very active type of praise. My point for this is praise is active. You cannot passively praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So yada, this is so cool. Yada means to lift your hands in worship.
Well, that
might have said it's also sometimes used in the context of throwing a stone or arrow.
Mm.
So if you're going to go play catch with your kid to play baseball, you're going to yada the ball around. It means to throw.
Yeah, that like immediately reminds me of David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when you praise, when you lift your hands in worship, you could picture yourself like throwing a stone at your enemy.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, when you look at where this word is used in context, this is so cool. It's used in 2 Chronicles 5:11-14. This is at the dedication service. So I'm going to read it here. And I'm going to tell you right where it says yada.
And tell me.
And in yada, it's not translated as lifting your hands to the Lord. It's translated as just thanking the Lord, but they were lifting their hands to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are entire denominations that frown upon lifting your hands during corporate worship.
Yeah.
But it's actually extremely biblical and very powerful.
Yeah. So also, before you do that, I also saw this other thing where it says, like, why do people raise their hands during worship? And then it showed a picture of a little kid raising their hands to their dad.
Mm.
So, like, that's what I think of every time I raise my hands in worship now.
Yeah.
I think, like, you're reaching for the Father, you know?
Yeah. I want to read this in context. 2 Chronicles 5:11-14. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, all the sons of Asaph, and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar. The east end is really important too. When Jesus comes again, he's going to come from the east part of Jerusalem. He's actually going to, when he comes back again, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. It's east of Jerusalem, and he's going to walk across the valley and enter through the eastern gate. That's the gate that's nicknamed Beautiful.
Mm.
That's where Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee.
Rise up
at the eastern gate. So that's where Christ is going to come through the eastern gate. They're at the east end of the altar. They're clothed in white linen, having cymbals. So there's drums, stringed instruments, harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets or shofars. 120. So this is a
shofars. I don't know. I cannot imagine.
At our church, we keep the decibel level during worship to 90, which I think it's actually on the slightly lower side of a lot of churches, but 120 trumpets with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. Easily, over 100 decibels. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one. So the instruments and the singers were in unison. Mm-hmm. When they were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking. Praising and thanking. That it's yada, lifting your hands. When they're lifting their hands to the Lord. It says, when they lifted their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy, his chesed. The New Testament word for that is charis. Grace, his chesed, his charis, endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God.
So this is basically telling me that we should turn,
lift your hands, yada. Yeah.
But I was, yes, that, and then also turn the music up at our church. If you want the glory cloud, maybe these other churches have it right. Maybe we have it wrong. Maybe we should just
turn it up a little.
100. I'm just kidding. Aaron, I'm trying to make a joke.
I know.
You don't think it's funny. All right. Anyway, welcome to my world. Okay.
All right.
So raise your hands during worship.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Think about all the priests just falling down because of the
oh, people
the
don't
presence
fall down
of God
anymore, Aaron. They're not. That's fake.
It's silly. They only fall prostrate.
Faced down.
You can't fall to the side or to the back, or else you'll offend a Baptist.
Thank you, Chrissy. I'm glad that you get my joke, because my own husband, he's just in the teacher zone, which is good. No, I know. You're very excited about this topic, and this is a great topic, which I love. I think that's funny. Only fall down face first. Otherwise,
third word.
Straight to hell. Okay.
Third word.
Third word. This one's interesting. I told Fisher this one the other day.
You know, if someone's falling down from the presence of God,
I knew you.
You're not
going to
fall down at a precise, you know, scientific.
Yes, you are, Pastor.
You know, certain degree. How silly. How silly. It's just hilarious.
It is.
Like what people get obsessed about.
What's funny is that it takes you a minute and then you get rolling and then you start talking about it. Okay.
Okay.
Barack Obama.
Just some of the conversations God is going to have with people in heaven. I found it interesting when Jesse Duplantis was here talking about
heaven. Yeah.
How he talked about how people learn in heaven.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Some people, including myself, will have a lot to learn. But some people are going to, yeah, I have to go back to kindergarten.
I'll probably be one of those people, and that's fine. As long as I'm in heaven, I don't really care what I have to learn. Okay, number three.
Barack.
Obama.
No, Obama. No Obama.
Just kidding. But I do think that it's interesting, though, that that's what his name is.
Yeah.
It's the same, right?
Yeah.
He spells
it
that
way. I think his name has a, I don't know if it's Arab.
I mean, yeah. It probably is.
Arabic
but
and Hebrew actually have like the same root.
Yeah. Anyway, me and Fisher were going back and forth with this when he thought it was funny. So yeah. We were talking. It's like a trendy thing for Gen Alpha. They're like obsessed with Barack Obama. They talk about him all the time. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. I was thinking of.
They, what?
Oh, I saw a funny Jewish comedian.
I don't know
comedian.
Why they talk about him all the time. It's just funny. Like, they don't like idolize him or anything like that. It's just a topic that they bring up occasionally. It's weird.
I saw this comedian in Israel talking about
youth pastor thing.
How in Israel they have to learn English and obviously Hebrew, but they're in high school, they're encouraged to learn another language. And he said it was a Jewish and Israeli.
Oh, okay.
Israeli comedian. And he said in high school, you know, most of his friends learned French because they want to go to France and be able to speak with people. And he said, well, I learned Arabic. So that way, when I go to France, I'll be able to.
Oh my God.
converse with the general public.
Oh, gosh.
It was really funny.
Wow. Who said that?
He's just an Israeli.
This Israeli
comic,
guy?
Yeah.
That's comedian?
Yeah.
Okay. Barak.
Barak.
Here we go.
Praise is an act of adoration.
Yeah.
So Barak means to kneel and to bless God as an act of adoration. And this is used in Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, Barak, before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So when you kneel, it's an act of adoration.
Yeah.
To
an
God.
An act of praise.
Yeah, worshiping, worship, bowing down. So an act of adoration. And a New Testament equivalent of this would be the one with the alabaster box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just bowing down. And that's what offended people, is that she was adoring Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And true praise and worship, there's sacrifice. There's giving attached to it as well. You can worship the Lord with your giving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what offended her, was this act of adoration.
They
and it wasn't the kneel, you know,
yeah,
the kneeling down, the weeping, the, you know, washing his feet with her hair. It was the money thing that offended them.
Oh, yeah.
And even how people worship can offend people as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Because it's a spiritual thing and it's powerful, and the enemy doesn't like that. So, of course, you know, just like the Holy Spirit moves on people, the devil also tries to inspire people. You know, get him offended or upset or whatever, but.
So is Barak.
Okay.
Not fourth Obama. Word, Shabbach.
I'm not. This is where I stop.
Shabbach.
Saying the words.
My point to this word is that praise is triumphant.
Yes, I love this one.
It means to shout.
Yeah, I like this one.
To address in a loud tone.
Mm-hmm.
To raise your voice in triumph.
Yeah.
Yeah, Heather loves to shout.
I do. You know why? When I first moved here, I came to church here. I didn't know anybody, but I met a couple of girls from Caris Bible College. And so we would kind of sit together. Mm-hmm. But one of them, her name was Erin. Hi, Erin, if you're watching this. And she, God totally, radically changed this woman's life. But during worship, she would shout. I never heard anybody do that before.
Mm.
And I would just get like chills.
Mm.
And I thought, that is powerful. And then later on, I thought, why is that so powerful? Well, here you go. That's why.
Yeah. It's shouting. It's loud. It's triumphant.
Yeah. Well, and it reminds me of like the walls of Jericho, you know. It's a powerful thing. And I love Mark Hankins. I think I've heard him say before, like, sometimes you're just so filled with gratitude.
Yeah.
And you're just so full of just thanksgiving. That's the only thing you can do. Like, there aren't words to describe it, you know?
And that's...
There's not a thank you. There's not a praise God. There's not a hallelujah.
Yeah, and the verse I have in context with that word, Shabbach, that triumphant shouting praise, it's Psalm 63, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because your loving kindness is better than life.
Yes.
My lips shall Shabbach you.
I love that.
So because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall shout, address in a loud tone, raise my voice in triumph toward you.
And you know what? I'm thinking that's exactly what happens to me if I do that during service. It's because I'm overwhelmed with God's love for me. And people also do this at concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed that? Secular concerts.
Yeah.
I've been to plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And what do people do? They scream in adoration at their...
Yeah.
The person that's there.
Yeah.
If only we knew what the root of why we do the things we do.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fascinating. And again, kind of as a deeper Bible study, things that I like to do, but I'd encourage you to do it too. Go to that website, blueletterbible.org, or download the Blue Letter Bible app on your phone.
Yeah.
Pull up Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Click on the word for praise. And you can see, you know, that word Shabbach there and see it described. But you can also see where else it's used in Scripture.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see where else it's used throughout Scripture. Fifth word.
Hold on, one more thing.
Okay.
Also, I'm just like I don't know. You ever just feel like you need to just sit and think about something for a minute? Like the triumph part. Also, when I just know that I know that I know that God is working on something for me and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Faith, faith-filled, yeah.
Yes, like that's another time, like during worship, mm-hmm. where I'll, and then sometimes, I mean, I've heard Pastor Lawson just walk around all of a sudden, he'll scare you. He will scare you. Mm-hmm. But just out of nowhere, he'll be like, wow, you know, and I'm like, but it's because he just got like a drop in his spirit mm-hmm. that, oh no, God's working on this and I'm going to see victory. Mm-hmm. I'm victorious in this mm-hmm. situation. Okay,
it's a triumphant praise.
Triumphant yeah. praise. That's awesome. Hello, Emily and Timothy. I want to say hi to you.
You have quite a few people on right now.
Yeah, it's good.
Fifth word, Zamar. Praise can bring inspiration.
Yeah. Yes, it can.
It can bring inspiration. Zamar is actually an instrumental type of worship. Mm-hmm. It means it literally means to strike the fingers against a stringed instrument. Mm. You know, so there is like some aspects of our faith, of our spiritual life with Jesus, some aspects it's hard to describe in words.
Yeah.
And for charismatic believers, that's easier for us to comprehend because we know like we pray mm-hmm. with our understanding, but we pray without our understanding. We pray in tongues. We're not praying with our understanding. Sometimes when God speaks to people through scripture, but even current day, he won't speak with you through words. He'll speak with you through images.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll give you a picture. Same thing when you're worshiping God, some things don't have to be verbalized in a language. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul even talks about singing with I pray with my understanding. I pray, in the spirit. I sing with my understanding. I sing in the spirit. So you can actually sing in tongues mm-hmm. as well. I believe that Paul, that's what he meant when he said that. But instrumental music can carry an anointing.
Yeah.
So when I'm playing the flute, I'm not saying, words. I'm not quoting. And it's funny because when we talk about various songs, I usually don't know the words to most songs. You know,
no,
like
you
and
don't.
Fisher know the words to everything.
You only hear
but
the
I'm
music.
Very much an instrumentalist.
Yeah.
And when I hear music, I'm just hearing the melodies, the harmonies, the rhythm. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm gearing towards.
Yeah.
And when I worship, yeah, I can sing, obviously I can clap, but I love instrumental worship mm-hmm. and understanding how that can carry this anointing, it can carry the inspiration of God.
Well, I think you should tell, I know you want to get through all these, but we're almost done. Tell them about how in classical music, a lot of it was based on.
Well, a lot of composers were, Christian believers. And I think God can even give inspiration to non-believers.
Yeah.
But he can give gifts that come from him.
Yeah. But maybe that's why, you know, there's a scientific thing that says that if you play instrument, classical music in your house, like your plants do better.
Yeah.
You learn better.
Have there been studies with like classical music? And I'm guessing they probably played more traditional classical music like Mozart, Beethoven, Bach. Mm-hmm. They'd play classical music 24/7 for plants, and then the same kind of plants, same environment, they'd play like heavy metal music, and those plants would suffer.
My
just ears
from suffer.
The music.
I'm sorry if you like that kind
of
music.
Yeah, certain music is more inviting to God's presence.
Yeah.
And certain music is inviting to the presence of the enemy.
Yeah.
And if it does that to plants, think about what it does to your brain and to your soul. And I remember I counseled this young woman.
But there was a...
And she told me, you know, she has dealt with major depression.
We've mentioned this before on here, and people got so mad. But go ahead. I don't care. I don't care if people...
But she dealt with major depression.
Yeah.
Been in therapy. Just really, really, you know, newer believer, but just really suffering in her soul. And just in our 30 minutes of conversation, she told me she loved to listen to like
death
heavy,
metal.
Yeah, death
metal. She said
metal.
Death metal to you. And we're like, well,
and
I just change the music you're listening to.
I said, don't listen. I said, for the next 2 weeks, I told her like three things to do.
You told her to, you gave her some scripture.
A scripture. God has not given me a spirit of fear, mm-hmm. but of power, love, and a sound mind. And whenever you felt fear, depression, anxiety, to just quote this.
Yeah.
And I said, for the next 2 weeks, don't listen to anything. The only type of music you're allowed to listen to is praise and worship.
Yeah.
This made it very simple for her. And there's a third thing, and I can't remember what it was, but she came back 2 weeks later. She's like, I've never had this much peace in my life ever.
Yeah.
And it's just like a complete light bulb went off.
Yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned this before, and someone came unglued.
Oh,
like, you
yeah,
told,
they got really mad.
Told
you're not supposed
to
tell people
something.
What to do. Whatever. If you want to listen to your death metal music, we don't care. We still love you. I don't care. But I just know it's not peaceful. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Zamar.
Oh, I thought
we're on Zamar.
Oh, okay.
Instrumental worship. Zamar literally means to strike the fingers against a stringed instrument. This is interesting. Psalm 57, verse 7 and 8. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Zamar. I will sing and worship you with instrumental music. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. And I just had this realization right now that there's a great song by Hillsong called Awake My Soul.
Mm, yeah.
And the beginning of it is instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really cool. In the original, they have a mandolin playing, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful stringed instrument. But there's a big mandolin part in it.
Yeah.
And it's really fitting that song is kind of based off of this psalm. And
yeah,
that, like
that
a prominent instrumental intro throughout is done on mandolin. So there is a special anointing available for instrumentalists. So maybe you're a pianist, a guitar player, a flute player, even drums. Man, drums are incredibly important and carry so much. Drums were probably the first instrument created by human beings. And then the flute. There's a flute, literally some type of flute in almost every culture. Mm. Native American, European, Chinese, Japanese, South American, thousands and thousands of years of, traditional music in these cultures, but the flute is always present and some type of percussive instruments as well. And often various types of stringed instruments. So it's just innate in our hearts to make music.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you can actually prophesy through an instrument, just like you can worship God, sing with your understanding, sing in the spirit. I believe that you can prophesy instrumentally, and that you can unleash something from heaven through an instrument. Something that I could think about.
Yeah.
Sixth word, halal. Halal. Really interesting here. Praise is not about you. And the meaning of this is to shine, to make a show, to boast, to celebrate.
Mm.
You can't boast in yourself, but you can boast in the Lord.
You can't boast silently.
Yeah. So I'm going to show you where this is used in context. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory, halal.
Mm.
When you shout, I love Mark Hankins. He loves to shout glory. Hey, this is what he's doing. He's it's halal.
Yeah.
It's shouting. It's boasting in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. It's kind of interesting. The wisest person isn't wise enough. The wisest person probably in scripture is Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't wise enough.
Mm-mm.
The strongest man, Samson, wasn't strong enough. The richest man probably wasn't rich enough. There's a lot of rich people in the Bible.
Yeah.
You're not nearly as rich as God is. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories, who halals, let him halal in this, that he understands and knows me.
Mm.
So when you understand and know That's God, good. It's going to cause you to shout glory.
Yes.
And boast.
Yeah.
In who God is.
Yes.
I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. That's awesome. Actually,
in these he delights, in love and kindness, judgment, righteousness.
Yeah. True praise and worship points people to Jesus. So I want to give everyone just my general philosophy of praise and worship at church.
Okay.
And it's that whatever we do, you know, and it, you can have various types of instruments, various types of songs and lighting, fog machine, but like whatever we do, it shouldn't be distracting people from Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's really a heart thing. And even how singers sing or dress, play their instruments, you can be an individual, but you shouldn't be trying to point the attention on yourself. And even preaching, mm-hmm. I think should be the same. And it's okay to use personal examples.
Yeah.
Because you need to preach from revelation, but the ultimate goal of preaching is to point people to Jesus, not to yourself as a person.
Yeah.
And for instance, like when a famous Christian singer or famous preacher has a great fall, you know, because they weren't really that genuine, had a lot of junk in their life they never dealt with, it comes to light. When a lot of people leave their faith or give up, like they weren't following Jesus, they were following that.
It's not that person's fault.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, if you get offended at somebody because they're not perfect, then.
Yeah, and when you get to heaven and stand before, you know, the great judge, can't say, well, my preacher is mean or this person messed up or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you're going to stand before him without excuse.
Right.
Something I learned, and I actually kind of learned this when I was in Pittsburgh, 18 years old. Just went to college to study with the top flute instructor in the whole world, with top flutists from all around the world. I went to a small church of about 100 people or so outside of Pittsburgh and played my flute there every Sunday. But the assistant worship leader, who's still there today, his name's Brian, great, great man of God. Yeah, I've been serving at that church, helping with worship for 30 years probably, because I was there 21 years ago. When I was 18, mm-hmm. but I came and I obviously a lot of talent, technique, a lot of razzle dazzle in my approach to playing. He told me,
tone it down.
Yeah. And kind of just show me how to do it and to fit in. But it really made me realize that everything we do, it needs to point to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, you can play rhythmically, you can play sustains, you can play melody against the singer, you can play harmony against the singer, play fills between the words, but you're not just taking tons of solos all the time.
Yeah.
But it really led me to just realize, whatever how we're playing, and it shouldn't be
a distraction. Away from God,
Halal, it means to boast in God, to glory in him. Last word. Tehillah. And this is super cool. It's just complete exuberant praise. It means to, and it's hard to translate. It means to praise, to shout, to dance.
Complete. We are not allowed to dance.
Abandonment.
Or right.
In praise. But this is the type of praise that was used in 2 Chronicles 20 when King Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem was being attacked by three armies simultaneously.
Mm.
And
what?
The prophet got up and spoke and said that this battle won't be yours, but it'd be the Lord's.
Mm-hmm.
What was that prophet's name? Jehaziel. Jehaziel.
Jehaziel.
Jehaziel. Jehaziel spoke, you know, the word of the Lord. And Jehaziel was a son of Asaph, so he was actually part of the worship team.
Mm-hmm.
And Jehoshaphat decide we're going to put the praise and worship team in front of the army as they go out of the city to fight against, you know, these three armies attacking us at the same time. And I believe that the sons of Asaph, the worship team, probably put Jehaziel at the very front. Like,
Hey,
you get to hold the mic today.
This was your idea?
Choose the song.
You're going to champion it.
and then this is something I'm going to ask God about when I get to heaven. Was it Jehaziel that picked the song and led the worship team in, you know, in front of the armies? And the type of praise that they led the people in was Tehillah praise. Mm. So we'll read this in context. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. So they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets." Believe that Jehaziel, that son of Asaph, that, you know, worshiper. "And you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. His chesed, his charis, his grace endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise Tehillah, the Lord. So they were singing and...
and praising.
Praising, shouting, dancing.
Time. Yeah.
In wild abandonment, as they began to do this, it says, as they did this,
yeah,
the Lord did something.
Mm-hmm.
He set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, these three armies who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So praise and worship and shouting and dancing and Tehillah.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And it does things in the realm of the spirit.
It does. I have a testimony about this, actually. Yeah. So this has been a few years ago, but we're having issues with our Facebook account or something. Do you remember that?
Here at the church?
Yeah.
YouTube.
No, we've had issues with that too, but this particular one was Facebook. And I kept hitting a wall. I kept needing to, I think I needed to change the owner. Like years ago, whoever created our Facebook account, it was somebody that didn't go to church here anymore. And we couldn't get them out of the owner seat of, I don't know, it was weird. And I'm not that tech. I'm not, anyway. And we didn't have anybody on staff none of us could figure it out.
Is it the YouTube?
And we also had an issue with YouTube, believe me. I was not the one that figured out YouTube, but I figured out this particular issue. Mm. And but I needed to send myself like a notification to become an owner so I could change some settings, and I kept trying to send it, but Facebook would never send me the authorization to where I could click on it and make myself an owner. So it was causing a big problem. And I was so mad. And if you've ever worked on your Facebook account, you know what I'm talking about. You can't get a hold of these people. It's like endless, you know. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the walls of Jericho, like, were just around. I could not get over this wall. And anyway, I had been studying about praise. And so I said, you know what? I'm done with this. And I stood up and I walked around our house and I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And I just spent like 10 or 15 minutes praising God that he was going to give me the victory over this Facebook issue. And you're going to think this sounds stupid, but you know what? God cares about the things that we think are stupid, or even maybe other people think what you're believing God for is stupid. But this mattered to me. And I walked around the house praising God, and like within a couple of hours, something that had taken me weeks to try to figure out, that it just all of a sudden opened up, and the issue was fixed. There's no way to explain the answer to this other than that it was God. It was a God thing, and it miraculously was unlocked. And something. So really, what you think is going to take you endless amount of time, or maybe you've spent, you know, years dealing with something, or you've spent weeks dealing with something, you've exhausted all your resources. You know what? If you just decide, I'm just going to start praising God in victory over this thing, knowing that God's working all things together for my good, God's given me wisdom, he's helping me, he's given me victory, and you start shouting, your enemy's going to be confused. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to run for the hills. This whole teaching tells you how, basically, how to deal with hard things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God, mm-hmm. right? Praise gives you the victory.
That's true.
It is true. I've even needed wisdom regarding certain things, and I tried to figure it out, read my Bible, listen to podcasts, listen to teachings, put on worship music. And there's nothing wrong with worship music. But when I switched to just praising God, mm-hmm. instantly God gave me wisdom to deal with whatever it was.
There's so many things that, like, problems that can arise in life that you don't really have a solution for.
Right.
In your own means or your own...
ability.
Yeah. Actually, just yesterday we took a meal. I was kind of reminded of something yesterday. We took a meal to Ben and Sean. They just had twin babies.
They just had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... they were just born Wednesday, mm-hmm. and they help us a lot here at church. But I was just thinking about when we had Ada, and the first time she got really sick, mm-hmm. and how just there wasn't like a natural thing you could do. And just as a father of an infant that's completely in your hands, mm-hmm. like how... I'm so thankful we have a God
yes.
who cares and helps us, because like sometimes there just isn't a natural solution
yeah.
to help someone that you just
love.
Yeah.
That needs help.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's spiritual help.
Yeah.
There's spiritual things. And that's what we need to remember, is that we're not just a natural person. Mm-hmm. We are a spirit, soul, and a body. And the spirit part of us is probably the most important. And that mm-hmm. you're going to tap into everything you need in the spirit, in mm-hmm. Christ. That's so encouraging.
Yeah.
It's so encouraging, because life is not easy. But it can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be, because you can tap in to the spirit.
And praise is such a spiritual thing.
Oh, it
like
is.
You're doing things in the natural. You're singing, you're clapping, you're
that
raising your hands.
Same
you're,
dumb.
You're playing an instrument. But it's so, so spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And people can sense it too. You know, that's one thing I love about just having a strong, healthy culture of praise and worship, is that when people come in, they can experience, they sense God's presence.
Yes.
Even people who've never been to church before, never heard the gospel, it's very attractive.
Yeah.
Because it's so peaceful and joyful and full of light and...
Because it's God.
Encouraging.
People are attracted to God. Chrissy said Kevin and I's favorite thing to say when we face challenges right now is, you know how we're going to move forward? We're going to rejoice. It helps us every time. I know, Chrissy, that is so true. And one time me and Aaron were dealing with something really hard and just completely out of our control. And what did I do? I texted some faithful woman of God that I know, and I expected her to send me back some like word from the Bible, and she said, just praise the Lord. And I was like, that's not what I wanted to do. I did not want to do that, but I did it, and God mm-hmm. helped us. All the Benfers said, love this. Worship at Caris was the first thing that ministered to me. It's one thing to worship in the kitchen like a crazy lady. It's another level when we can do it gathered mm-hmm. together.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yes, that's so
yeah,
true.
Yeah, and go back and watch
it. It blesses me.
Beginning, that first word, Todah. Mm-hmm. I talked about how that word means a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a confession, a choir of worshipers.
Yes.
Just how there's something very biblical but very profound about corporate worship.
Yes, it's powerful. If you're here local with us, or if you're within an hour, I would say you need to come to Caris Christian Center on a Sunday morning. Man, there you can live stream, but there is nothing like being mm-hmm. here in person. It is powerful.
Yeah, and if you if you live far away, I just make a little vacation sometime.
Yeah.
To,
hop on a
know.
Plane.
Yeah.
Or drive. This is a really good topic.
Yeah. And thankfully, like Colorado, it's pretty accessible from most of the country.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cheap flights in and out of Colorado Springs and Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just an hour from the Denver airport, 20 minutes from the Colorado Springs
yeah.
airport. So
it's awesome. Well, we hope you guys were blessed. This really encouraged me. I love this a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And I'd encourage you guys too, some of you that don't know, that blueletterbible.org is a great website for Bible study, and the app Blue Letter Bible. You can look at it. It's fairly easy to navigate. Mm-hmm. But I love it. I use it quite a bit.
Yeah. And it's a good resource. And if you need prayer, or if you need people to stand with you, you can always call our church and call for prayer. And somebody's here, they will pray for you, and it will be powerful, mm-hmm. and you will see some breakthrough. And subscribe to this channel if you haven't already.
Awesome.
I think we already said that, but.
Oh, and then in 2 weeks, Andrew Womack will be here.
He will be here. Yeah.
So, yeah, Andrew Womack will be live with us on our podcast in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're super excited about that.
On the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and then
really
Pastor Lawson the week after
that.
Yeah,
the week after that. So
it'll be a great month.
Yeah, so we love you guys. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in again next week and like, subscribe, share this with your friends. We'll see you all again very soon.
See ya.